Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Nice to be back with all of you again. Reading from Canto 3, Chapter 16. And we'll read texts 7 and 8. For 16 is entitled Jayan Vijay Cursed by the sages meaning four Kumaras. The beginning of the chapter is Lord Narayan has come to the gate, seventh gate of Vaikuntha, and he speaks to the Kumaras to pacify them. And he speaks very wonderfully, naturally. He apologizes. First he says that what you have done is right. What they have done is wrong because they're representing me. I have done the wrong. Please accept my apology. For one who is representing, this has a lot of practical application. So listen. One who is representing another, if they make some mistake or offense, then the person who they are acting on behalf of receives the blame or some of the blame. And the reason why a devotee, like Jayan Vijay, our devotees, why a devotee might make an offense is because of ignoring the personality of Godhead. There's a lot in there. But I just spent 2 days discussing all of that. He speaks of, Lord Narayan speaks of the exalted position of the Brahmana in the purport. Prabhupada emphasizes not the by birth caste Brahmana, but the by qualification Brahmana, specifically the Brahmana Vaishnava, because one who is Brahmana knows Brahman. And because Brahman is an aspect of the Absolute Truth, the complete form of which is Bhagavan, in his full stage of maturity, a Brahman is a Vaishnava. A Brahmana Vaishnava. And so he says, to me, the Brahmana Vaishnavas are the highest and most beloved. And you have been offended. You are Brahmana Vaishnavas. You've been offended. Therefore, this disrespect shown by my attendant has actually been displayed by me. Because the doormen are my servitors. I take this to be an offense by me. Therefore, I seek your forgiveness for this incident. And then it comes just the verse before where we're beginning. one of the many verses in the Bhagavatam that speaks of the glories of devotional service. in a contrasting way. That is, when someone, even someone may be born of a Chandala family, if they can somehow come in contact with devotional service, engage in devotional service, that person is immediately purified. And the purification is hearing through his ear the glorifications of the personality of Godhead, his name, fame, etc. And I give my protection to such a person who has become purified by that process. And if any part of me, like my arm, may cause some inconvenience for that person, that having formerly been a Chandala, now by contact with devotional service, has become purified. If my arm causes them some inconvenience, I'll chop off my arm, indicating Jaya and Vijaya, your curse that they should take birth as demons. Chopping off my arm, no problem. They're my arms. They're my order carriers. They guard my gates. And if they've offended you, chop them. And then he takes it a step further. That's this morning's two verses. The Lord continued, text 7, because I am the servitor of my devotees. I'll read it again. Because I am the servitor of my devotees. My lotus feet have become so sacred that they immediately wipe out all sin. And I have acquired such a disposition that the goddess of fortune does not leave me. Even though I have no attachment for her, and others praise her beauty and observe sacred vows to secure from her even a slight favor. So what's he saying? I'll read the purport. Prabhupada writes, the relationship between the Lord and his devotees is transcendentally beautiful. As the devotee thinks that it is due to being a devotee of the Lord that he is elevated in all good qualities. Yes, that's how a devotee thinks. If there's any good quality, it's only because of engagement in the service of the Lord. Here's how the Lord thinks. The Lord also thinks that it is because of his devotion to the servitor that all his transcendental glories have increased. And he thinks that way. How dear is the devotee to the Lord? How dear is the Lord to the devotee? A true devotee. Nothing matters except that. And for the Lord, nothing matters except his devotee. In other words, as the devotee is always anxious to render some service to the Lord, so the Lord is ever anxious to render service to the devotee. The Lord herein admits that although he certainly has the quality, then anyone who receives a slight particle of the dust of his lotus feet becomes at once a great personality. This greatness is due to his affection for his devotee. That's how he thinks. It is because of this affection that the goddess of fortune does not leave him, and that only one, not only one, but many thousands of goddesses of fortune engage in his service in the material world simply to get a little favor from the goddess of fortune. People observe many rigid regulations of austerity and penance. The Lord cannot tolerate any inconvenience on the part of the devotee. He is therefore famous as Bhaktavatsala. There are so many nice pastimes we could spend a couple of hours easily. If I ask the question, can you think of some example where Krishna shows his quality of Bhaktavatsala and then describe the pastime? We could be here for hours. Because this is such a prominent feature and such an attractive feature, such a pleasing feature. Krishna is so kind. Bhaktavatsala specifically means he's very kind and favorably disposed to his devotee. He has great affection for his devotee. Now, sometimes we find devotees that have great affection amongst all devotees, great affection for the personality of Godhead. Who can imagine the greatness of the affection that the Lord has for his devotee? You know, one of the classic examples from the Bhagavatam comes on this Bhaktavatsala comes from Maharaj Ambarish, where Durvasa Muni goes to Lord Vishnu, save me, Sudarshan Chakra, I made a big mistake, Ambarish Maharaj is a great devotee, help. And what does the Lord say? There's nothing I can do. I can't take any independent action from Maharaj Ambarish. I'm fully dependent upon him. I'm fully dependent upon him because he's dedicated everything to me. And so I've dedicated everything to him. There's nothing in his heart but me. And there's nothing in my heart but him. So, if he says, I'll do. But I can't take any independent action. Go to him. If he says yes, it's yes. So many. Krishna is very kind. One that comes to mind is Krishna's his Damodar Lila. He's tied by the rope of Mother Yashoda, because he was bound by her affection. Because he wanted to do something else. He's the Supreme Lord, he can do whatever he likes. He wanted to do something else, but Mother Yashoda wanted to bind him. And first it was no. But her affection was so strong, it was yes. He withdrew, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he withdrew his own Icha Shakti, his will potency. He withdrew it. And his Swarup Shakti, his abundant personal potencies, he withdrew them and exhibited his Kripa Shakti. So he was bound. There he is. The Supreme Lord in the form of a little child, bound by a rope of Mother Yashoda. And he looks at the two Arjuna trees and he's thinking, Narada made an utterance. He said, these two trees will be delivered by me. So I have to uphold the word of my devotee. And so he knocked them over. to deliver Nalukovera and Manigriva. Because he's Bhaktivatsala. And on and on and on, because this is his nature. Now, how does that play out in our everyday life? Because our everyday life has miseries. Right? I mean, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi for starters. And then so many other miseries. The rooster that won't stop making his noise during Bhagavatam class. I mean, there's so many miseries. So many miseries. Unlimited miseries. So, you know, Krishna, do something. You're in the heart of that rooster. Tell him to, like, turn it off until class is over. Or something. You know, we have our wish list of things that we want. And it doesn't happen the way that we want. So people go, you know, why is Krishna doing this? So many great calamities, little ones, big ones, huge ones. I could list some of the ones that I've just, you know, in the course of my association recently encountered. Just a disciple named Rupa Sanatan Das, who was the temple president of our St. Louis ISKCON temple, just left his body in Vrindavan hospice, dying of cancer. He was a very nice devotee, doing wonderful service. And he's gone. And so many. One devotee just wrote to me that her sister, pregnant in the 9th month of pregnancy, the doctor says that everything is fine, and then suddenly, miscarriage. The whole family's upside down. I don't know, why did God let this happen? You know, what happened to the Krishna is so kind? Just disappeared. Because it didn't happen the way that they thought it should happen. They're good people, they're very pious people. So, in this material experience that we go through every day, where's the Krishna is so kind factor? Or somebody that has a chronic illness and they're in pain, or it's so many things. They want to serve, but they can't serve because of their ailment. And they try to do something, and then it makes it worse because they shouldn't. They should. And they're frustrated. You know, I just want to serve. Anyway, you know, there's so many. But so, where's the Krishna is so kind in all of that? Take a giant step back and, you know, why have a material creation at all? Just like be in the spiritual world and chant and be happy. Because of the desire of the living entity, the errant desire, and measures to correct that errant desire of the living entity are there within, built within the material world. And that's an act of Krishna's kindness. Like this big, broad contrast that Prabhupada would sometimes draw. When Krishna kills a demon and Krishna saves the devotee, the kindness is the same to both, the demon and the devotee, because they're being delivered. It looks different, but one is being delivered, the other is being delivered. All their sinful reactions are eliminated. Krishna is very kind. Krishna is very kind. Universally, we may not see it because we have another wish list, but in all circumstances, Krishna is very kind. It's his nature. And here in this context, Krishna is very kind to the Kumaras. They're Brahmana Vaishnavas. And he feels, what he's saying, this is like really deep, but he's saying that the particle of dust of my lotus feet, that it's a fact. One who contacts it, their life can become perfect. And you want to know why that's so? It's because of that my fame, my capacity to deliver others has increased because of my affection for my devotee. It's because of my devotee.